So, as a writer, I very firmly believe in the power of words. Spoken ones, written ones, signed ones, sung ones, the big words and the little words. Words can reshape our world. Consider the Declaration of Independence or Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. In the musical Wicked, the Wizard of Oz recognizes the power of names and labels when he tells Elphaba, "Where I come from, we believe all sorts of things that aren't true. We call it history." Words can change how we see ourselves and others. And in the song that Anthony chose for today's anthem, Moana is torn between who her parents want her to be and who she sees herself as. And she wonders, what could I do if my parents just believed in me? If they took me for who I am. Names and labels matter. Words matter. Our language is full of unspoken biases, linguistic defaults, I'm calling them for lack of a better term. There probably is a better term somewhere, but if there is, I do not know that particular word. Things like, they're kind of like a rut in our language. And if we want to get out of that linguistic rut, we need to take some side steps to get onto a new, more inclusive path. To illustrate what in the world I'm even talking about, we're going to do a little experiment. I would invite you to picture a plumber for me. Now picture a kindergarten teacher. Everybody done that? Okay. Raise your hand if when you pictured a plumber, you thought of a man. Okay? Raise your hand if the kindergarten teacher you pictured was a woman. Was she white? Okay. Was she fairly young? Yeah, okay. So I didn't say anything about race or gender or age or any of those things when I gave you the directions. And nothing that anybody pictured is wrong. I am not trying to criticize you here. But why did we all make that same assumption? Here's another example for you. If you read a description of a person in a book, we generally assume that that person is white, unless the text specifically tells you that the person is a character, person is a person of color. Authors don't have to say when somebody is white because whiteness is the default. Nouns like teacher, plumber, nurse, president are so entrenched in stereotypes that they inherently carry gender, sexuality, race or skin color with them. Now, can you imagine how that feels to someone who does not fit into that mold? What about the little girl who wants to grow up to be a plumber? That's her dream. And everybody says, that's just for boys. Author Libba Bray once wrote that words matter. The right ones can open a door or a heart. A warm welcome can change a stranger into a friend. A genuine statement that I care about you, I love you, and you matter to me can literally save a life. And words that are spoken in anger or fear or hate can cause scars that will last a lifetime. Words matter. Inclusivity matters. As you use, we value transformation, right? That's one of our values that we have that we talk about. Our religion is constantly changing. We reevaluate what we can do better. Dr. Maya Angelou wrote that do your best, do the best you can until you know better. Then, when you know better, do better. In that vein, I would like to challenge us all to be more conscious of how these linguistic defaults that we have reinforce gender binaries and exclude people who do not fit neatly into the categories of man or woman. Not everyone falls into this or that, like the story we read today. Some people are neither or both, all or either, some. When we use terms like men and women, our words send a message whether we mean them to or not. If I address a group of kids As boys and girls, I am excluding the kids who are neither or both, or maybe somewhere in between. My words would signal to those kids that I may not be a safe person, that maybe learning their new names, their pronouns, or remembering just to include them by saying they, them, also, when I talk about he and she, is not worth my time. Maybe the lives of trans people just don't matter to me. And I can't speak for the rest of you, but I know that that is not the message I want my words to send. Activist bell hooks defined being queer as being about the self that is at odds with everything around it and has to invent it and create and find a place to speak and to thrive and to live. One of my older kids, actually Andy, who came with me today, uses they, them pronouns, and I have watched how they have to fight their way through the world. Imagine, every time you introduce yourself to someone, you have to make a snap judgment on whether or not it's safe to disclose your identity. Every time you fill out paperwork at the doctor, the dentist office, school, work, ordering DoorDash, you have to make a decision. Are you going to put he, she, Mr., Mrs.? Or sometimes they'll throw you a crumb and say, you can just leave it blank, it's okay. Do you feel safe using those people's services if they are forcing you to out yourself or misgender yourself? You might not. Imagine being a person whose gender presentation is both masculine and feminine. Every time you are away from home and you need to use the bathroom, you are reminded that people see you as an anomaly or even a threat. You need to decide what's going to be the safest option for you if there aren't any unisex bathrooms available. A study done in 2024 found that half of trans young adults that they surveyed sometimes avoided using public bathrooms because of safety concerns. About a quarter of them always avoided using public bathrooms. And about 40% of those youth also said that they avoided eating or drinking when they were out of their house because it would not be safe for them if they needed to go to the bathroom. Imagine that. You are at work, you cannot eat or drink all day because you're afraid to go to the bathroom. Imagine having to make that choice. Do you take the immediate risks that come with using the public bathroom? Or do you take the long-term risks that you face with dehydration and malnourishment? And this isn't a one-time choice. You get to make this choice over and over and over again, multiple times a day, every single day of your existence. This is what happens when we reduce people to he and she and we leave out they. Now, there is absolutely nothing wrong with using gendered terminology for the people to whom they do apply, but we shouldn't assume that they apply to everyone. I am a woman. I use she, her pronouns. Those are the right words if you're going to talk about me. My kids were all assumed female at birth, but they are not all girls. I have one girl, one gender flux, and one gender queer. So there's a lot of woo in my house, you know? And I could tell you all those things, or I could just say, I have three kids. That's a lot simpler. And it includes all of them. The gender flux one's gender changes from moment to moment, so I don't know. So I just say, I can say they, them. And that will always include them. Words like children, kids, people, they, them, create space for everyone to belong without erasing anyone's identity. Remembering that it is not just he or she, but also they and them matters. And I will readily admit that a big part of why I care so deeply about this is because it is personal for me. It is my family. When my oldest kid was about to graduate from high school, They admitted to me that they had not made plans for after graduation because they had not expected to live to see graduation. I can guarantee that every single one of you in this person, in this room, know at least one person who is trans. And even if you didn't know a single trans person, their lives would still be worth protecting and respecting, right? We value the life of every human being. The Human Rights Campaign estimates that over 2 million people in the United States are transgender, and that is certainly an underestimate because many trans people cannot safely be out. In addition, they also estimate that almost 2% of the entire world's population are intersex. For reference, that is comparable to the number of redheads in the world, 140 million people. And when we lump everyone together into either man or woman, we are erasing the existence of 142 plus million people. And that erasure hurts them deeply. I'd like to illustrate that to you by using our Chalice mission statement that's on the wall. It says, our mission is to nurture spiritually courageous people who transform the world through justice and compassion. What if I make just a little tiny alteration? What if I change it to, our mission is to nurture spiritually courageous women who transform the world through justice and compassion? Those of you who don't identify as a woman, does it bother you that I said women instead of people? Yeah. Is it uncomfortable being left out? Yes, it is. Okay, what if I change that statement? I'm going to include the men this time. And said, our mission is to nurture spiritually courageous white people who transform the world through justice and compassion. That covers most of you, though. Covers almost every single person in this room. It's only 1 or 2% of our congregation. We don't want to leave them out, though, right? It feels uncomfortable. And I am trying to make you uncomfortable right now because I want you to feel this. I want you to sit with that discomfort for a minute. And I would like you to think about how it bothered you when I said women instead of people, how I left out the men, or when I left out our wonderful, amazing people of color that I love very deeply. And I don't want you to answer this out loud, but I would like you to consider, would you have been as bothered if that statement said it was we to nurture spiritually courageous men and women who will transform the world? Words matter. Inclusivity matters. A recent survey of parents with trans kids showed heartbreaking results. They said 40% of their kids had depression. 50% of their kids had an anxiety disorder. So trans kids were 10 times as likely to have depression as cis kids, and they were 5 times as likely to have anxiety when you compared them to their peers. A 2020 study found that 82% of trans people had considered killing themselves. And we also know that these mental problems are not caused by being transgender. It does not inherently make you have depression or have anxiety or feel suicidal. For example, a survey that was done by the Trevor Project found that trans youth who said no one respected their pronouns in their life were almost 3 times more likely to attempt suicide than trans kids who said that all or most of the people they knew respected their pronouns. 27% of the kids in that first group had attempted suicide within the past 12 months. That rate dropped from 27 down to 10% when most people respected their pronouns. That's a huge difference. It is still not enough, but it is a huge difference. And consider that all of those numbers I just read off to you are affected by survivor bias. They're not counting the children who did not make it out. Can you begin to see the harm that we cause to trans and non-binary people when we constantly refer to men and women instead of people. When we complain that gender-neutral pronouns like they and them are just too confusing to learn. It takes such small sidesteps to get out of our defaults, to normalize introducing ourselves with our pronouns, even if I'm using normal pronouns. When we make only the trans people do it, it sends a signal that they are the weird ones. They are anomalies. It's such a small step to remember that he, she, and they are all valid options. Or to choose to say people instead of men and women. Because while we may not all be men and women, we are all people. The impact of our words reaches far beyond the sound of our voices. Author Vashti Kiraz Vega wrote, "Once words have rooted in your psyche, it is difficult to escape them. Words can shape the future of a child and destroy the existence of an adult. Once you have pronounced those words, you cannot remove the scars they leave behind." And I don't mean you, but does anybody else here remember really terrible, horrible things that somebody said to them decades ago? Did those things wake you up in the middle of the night sometimes, keep you awake? Yeah, those words stuck with you. How about words of encouragement and praise? Do you remember any of those kind of things that people said to you? So you know how important words can be, right? You felt it. One youth in particular who responded to that survey that I mentioned from the Trevor Project about pronouns said, "It makes me extremely happy when people respect and use my correct pronouns, and I could literally happy cry." That is the power of a 3 or 4 letter word. Our trans friends and neighbors are doing the best that they can to survive each and every day in a world that is rapidly stripping away their right to exist. Many of them face attacks every single day, be it verbal, emotional, even physical. Being trans right now, especially in America, can feel like facing death by 1,000 cuts daily. So if altering my words from men and women to people can spare them even a tiny bit of pain, I will do my best to make those changes. And they're such small changes. They cost nothing more from me than a little bit of effort. Now, I will work every single day to make sure that my words are not pouring salt into their wounds. And I hope that you will join me in that effort. Because in my house, we are choosing love. So you've all already risen, and you can rise in body and spirit now if you like to join us for our closing song, which provides us with another wonderful example of altering our language to be more inclusive. The original lyrics were "standing on the side of love." But when the author, Reverend Jason Shelton, found out how those lyrics were impacting people who had disabilities and could not stand and made them feel excluded, he rewrote the words. Some people grumbled about those changes. They liked the old words, they were used to them. I would hope that instead of complaining, we can celebrate Reverend Shelton's decision to answer the call of love by choosing inclusivity.